Henry Ford's assembly line helped change the world by bringing automotive technology to the masses. Now many believe a new revolution is underway as self-driving cars and trucks are poised to take over our driving. It's all detailed in Autonomy, the quest to build the driverless car and how it will reshape our world. And we're joined by its author, former General Motors head of research and development and current advisor to Google's self-driving car project Waymo, Larry Burns. This is a fascinating subject to me because I think, am I wrong? Is America going to have a really tough time wrapping its mind around this idea? Because, I mean, for almost a century, our whole concept of freedom has been defined by the idea of being able to get into a car and drive yourself.
Yeah, well, certainly the freedom is there, but what you put up with to have that freedom is kind of interesting. You have to stop to buy gas. You have to spend your time driving the car. You have to shop for a car insurance, park it. When you begin to look at all of the negatives associated with owning and operating a car, being stuck in traffic, you realize that there may be a better way to give you that freedom,
right,
and get rid of all those negatives.
I was fascinated to learn in grad school that the highway system was built as a form of defense. The government needed to get us out in case a bomb was dropped. You're saying that this technology was formed by the government initially as a contest?
Yes, actually the DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency for the U.S., stimulated this. Coming out of 9/11 and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, they wanted a way to keep our soldiers out of harm's way from those explosive devices that were planted in the road. So they created this competition because, quite frankly, the defense industry wasn't stepping up. So they created three challenges. The first was a $1 million prize to test this in a desert setting. It only went 7 miles that time. The second time, several cars made it the entire length of the race. And then finally, in 2007, DARPA sponsored a competition in an urban setting in Victorville, California. $2 million first prize. Carnegie Mellon University won that. General Motors, who I worked for at the time, sponsored it. But it was a great way to use taxpayer dollars to stimulate new technology.
Wow.
At the same time, Anthony talks about this notion of freedom, right? Cars representing freedom for Americans. And I wonder, do you think that attitudes are beginning to shift as they hear more about this technology? Are Americans, you think, going to be able to come around to this idea? Because for some people, the idea of not owning a car at all is something that's inconceivable. I grew up in the Midwest, and, you know, in the Midwest, you drive cars. You don't have a subway system like you do necessarily in New York City.
That's why we called the book Autonomy. Autonomy is a pretty powerful word. It means freedom. It means independence. But the reason I'm so excited about the future we discuss in autonomy is it brings together electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles, and you can tailor design the vehicle for the kinds of trips we make. Most people make one- and two-person trips, but the cars are way over-designed for that purpose. So this is about bringing you even more freedom, and freedom to younger people who don't have a license, freedom to older people who feel like maybe they can't drive, freedom to disabled people, the blind. So actually, I think this future is going to expand those freedoms to many people who don't or can't rely on the automobile.
Both Detroit and Silicon Valley have been intimately involved in this race to develop the self-driving car. Is there cooperation there, or are they essentially pitted against each other?
Well, certainly cooperation today, Anthony, but it's interesting. Google, Tesla, Uber, Lyft, they all emerged during the darkest age of the auto industry when GM was going bankrupt and Chrysler was going bankrupt. These technology companies in Silicon Valley planted these seeds that have now come together to change the world. Initially, I think Silicon Valley didn't appreciate just how hard it is to build a car.
Yeah.
And Detroit was in denial that this was a technology that was maybe 20 or 30 years out. But now it's interesting. Google, when they created Waymo, reached out to John Krafcik, who was a seasoned auto executive, to lead the company. Mm-hmm. And General Motors reached back into Silicon Valley and acquired Cruise Automation in order to do their advanced development work. So it's coming together.
So how close are we, Larry?
Project 10 years out.
Yeah, well, right now you can actually experience this in Chandler, Arizona. 10 years from now, I believe we'll be past the tipping point. What I mean by that is the value will be proven. People are going to like it. Companies are going to be investing in it. Will everybody have it in 10 years? No. This is going to take a while. This take a while.
I will stay with my stick shift.
But very, very important. I think the smart money will continue to go in this direction of autonomous electric vehicles.
Insurance companies probably want it to happen better.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. There's 1.3 million people a year dying in the world's roadways. We're going to get rid of 90% of the crashes associated with that. If we can get to this potential one day sooner, it saves 3,000 lives. So the biggest risk here is not moving fast enough.